report.
The Maryland report is recorded
in front of a live virtual audience on DuckPond.
Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern,
live.
Mallard.com.
MallardIRD.com.
One more thing before we start.
Let me turn it over to my friend that you may know from ancient aliens and Curse of the Island and many other things.
Robert Watworthy.
On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are those of the host and guests, and not necessarily of every podcast, killerpodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group. On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the host and guests, and not necessarily of every podcast, killerpodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group.
Of course it isn't. That's par for the course. What else is new? So yeah, scramble over to YouTube, guys. Of course, like, you can't hear me. So I'm gonna stall out here for a few seconds here and see if it'll give you that video over there. Yeah, it's one of those nights. So yeah, we'll get there, hopefully. Let's see if I can get that link up too. Maybe I can get it faster for you guys because I'm in the studio here. Hope everybody's well. Stumbling around tonight. My planned guest didn't come to plan, so we're just going to do probably a little bit of live calls tonight just because I'm here, right? And that's what we do. It's playing on YouTube. Perfect. So if you want, Germantown Runner, if you want to share that link over here so people can listen to us. And William Pohl, I'll call you back in just a second. I was just trying to make sure all the audio bells and whistle and everything was working on my end, so that's why I did not answer your call the first time around, because you know, important things are going on here. It kind of gets confusing when I have too many little blinky meters going on at one time, because that's what it does. So we will just light him back up here. Hopefully he answers his phone, and so it doesn't go to a voicemail and I have to give out his phone number. That would be bad.
Hello.
Hello. So you did answer the phone, so I didn't have to give out your phone number via voicemail.
Yes. So your guest didn't show up?
No. But the funny thing is, we talked about it this afternoon, so it wasn't like a lack of awareness. But, you know, life happens for people, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. So. But anyways, Mr. Poland. Yeah, one ringy-dingy. That's right. What's new in UFO? Well, I would ask what's new in ufology, but I know there's nothing. So what's new with you?
Not much other than my lovely wife Venus and I were subject to some efforts to control the narrative via Facebook.
Yeah, I seen that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I had an expose I wrote on San Antonio MUFON that was deleted by Facebook. And my wife Venus had posted some things and was in the process of sharing to different groups, and she was restricted. And of course, you know how our writing goes. It's very straightforward, but no foul language, nothing personal in nature, this and the other. And Facebook decided that we, at least in my case, my blog did not meet community standards. So it was just a bizarre circumstance. It's never happened to either of us. So
I was gonna say it's been a rough. I mean, I've come across this too, where, like, you know, on X, I think we call that now, right? Where I reach a less than 1% of my total following on a day in and day out basis, and it's like, but I thought Elon was supposed to be fixing all that, and then I look at my Facebook engagement, and it's no better, and I'm like, so yeah, I've pretty much
pretty much
given up.
It was very odd,
on social media.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's kind of what you get. So, I mean, I understand trying to control fake news or things that are kind of out of bounds, although that's even a slippery slope there. But, you know, neither of us did anything to precipitate that happening to us. So, I know she was very frustrated, and I was too. It just took me a good 30 minutes to write that blog, and then poof, it was deleted. And I thought, okay, that's nice.
So I see you created the Blogspot, if I'm correct, right?
I did. I went to Blogger. Yeah. I asked a few researchers in the field that I know personally, and they advocated going to Blogger and write my posts there and then share it to Facebook. Therefore, I'm circumventing their community standards. So
I bet you're sharing links off Facebook, so you're not going to get too far, but that's...
Yeah, so, I mean, Robert Schaefer and I think Jack Brewer and Kevin Randall all have blog spots, blog spots like that. Kirk Collins does, too. They all use Twitter, I mean, Twitter, Blogger. Then they share that stuff to Facebook directly, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, X, whatever it's called now.
Yeah, whatever it's called now.
So, yeah, so... But enough about me. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Juggling chainsaws, it feels like right now, but that's okay.
Good.
That's what I signed up for, right?
And I know you and your lovely wife won the... Did you guys win the Parents of the Year contest?
Well, we won a Legacy Parent Award, not the Parent of the Year.
Jeez, okay.
Not too much crush. Not too much fun there.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's cool. Good. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. So,
actually, Paul, I'm going to push.
But you're right. There's nothing going on in the UFO field.
I'm going to push you out
really.
Because I think I know this number, but I'm not sure. So I might call you back.
Okay.
Minute, but we'll
okay.
See.
Thanks, Jim.
Yep.
Take care. Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you? How are you doing, Nick? We're live, by the way, because I just went ahead and started without you.
No.
So how are you doing this evening?
Chaos.
Yeah, it has been. So.
Yeah, what happened, we've had a lot of really high temperature storms around here, and it's been causing problems all the time, and it affected the internet as well, and so my TV, cell phone, you name it, everything has started to screw up, and the big irony, the one thing that's working 100% perfectly is my old landline phone, which I keep down in the corner.
Which is good to have. I mean, obviously, for instance like this, I mean, I think we all take for granted the technology I'm waving around. Of course, nobody can see it, because I'm not on any video tonight. But, you know, we all assume these are always going to work and always be good, but here we are. Okay, so let's reset. This is Nick Redfern. He is the author of Mothman and Other Flying... Uh-oh.
That's what it is.
Yeah, sorry. I wanted to say mouths, but that's not it. Other Flying... What's the title of your book? Damn it, Nick, I can't read my own writing right now.
Well, it's about Mothman. But I'm sure everybody who knows about Mothman, you'll know from the 1960s when there was a disaster in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, when the city of Point Pleasant was sort of for about several months was flying across the skies over Point Pleasant, this giant creature with these sort of glowing red eyes like a giant bat, but also sort of superficially almost kind of human in some ways, and in December of 1967 everything came to an end when dozens of people died in the in the nearby river, and from there everybody, or if not most people, thought that that Mothman was responsible for killing these people who died from drowning, and so Mothman since then has been perceived as like a Grim Reaper type of thing. Now, and then the stories about Mothman have pretty much gone off. I mean, there have been a few sightings of Mothman over Point Pleasant even then, but most people have forgotten about it and it just went away. But what's really intriguing, but also disturbing, is that in about the last, I would say, 6 weeks 8 weeks since from now, I've been getting a lot of people who said that they were having these bizarre dreams and nightmares, and the nightmares were of Mothman hovering over a mushroom cloud, as if Mothman is sort of getting ready to create another disaster. And of course, you know, when you're talking about radioactive mushrooms at clouds, you know, that gets a bit or very disturbing. And I would say over the last 3 years now, I would say that I've got at least 23, 24, 25 people who had these nightmarish images with the cloud and Mothman just hovering around, and many people are really sort of frightened, which is, you know, well, which is understood, really. And so we've gone from 1967 to now, and we're talking about either two different Mothman creatures or the same one, or it's multiple Mothmen, so to speak. But there's a lot of weird stuff happening right now with these dreams, these nightmares, and all connected with the red eyes, the black wings, and the possibility of some sort of war. But let's hope that doesn't happen. But there's so many people talking about this. I mean, it's and having these dreams and nightmares, it's just more like let it go, you know. Let's hope it goes away, you know.
So is there any I don't want to say direct connection between these people, because I'm assuming there isn't that, but like age, location, or anything like that, or are they just scattered out everywhere?
Well, that's a good question, but the answer actually is no, and the reason, because it was a completely different, you know, with back in the 60s, because right back then, you know, we had images of prophecies of people drowning just off Point Pleasant in West Virginia, and so you know, we could see that, and we could also realize, or a lot of people thought, that these creatures are the sort of coming, creating the prophecies, that kind of thing, and showing us the future, that kind of thing. And so but today, now it's very, very different, and it's not quite so easy now, but today, I mean, the whole thing is sort of a nightmare, and but there's no real change in the format of the Mothman, how it looks and so on, and again, you know, what comes next is the next question, I guess.
Well, that's always the next question, isn't it? What comes next?
True.
Why do you think the legend of the Mothman has stuck around for so many years?
Well, it's interesting, because although people call Mothman Mothman, there are actually multiple different creatures, and some of them which are almost identical to Mothman as well. So it's possible we're not actually dealing with one Mothman. We might be talking about a similar type creature, but somewhat similar, or possibly we just think it's a Mothman because it's got wings. It could be the rest of it could be, you know, different. And that actually comes out in some of these cases. For example, in the early 1950s, a creature was seen that was almost identical as the creature that we call Mothman. But this one was seen in Houston, Texas. Now, if you Google the Houston Batman, you'll find the story of the Houston Batman. And he, or it, or she, whatever it was, looked exactly like the picture on the cover of the first publication of the Mothman Prophecies that John Keel put together. And so basically what that means is there's a distinct possibility that all of these large flying humanoids that we're seeing, they may be separate ones. They may all be separate. I mean, there's another one. There's one called Bat Squatch, which is supposed to be like a Bigfoot with wings. That's not a joke, but people call it Bat Squatch. And then you've got, you know, going back thousands of years ago, you've got like harpies and things like that. You know, and so it is possible that all of these creatures, humanoid ones with wings, that there is a distinct possibility, as I said, is that maybe they're all sort of cousins to each other, so to speak. But the one thing they all have in common is that sort of bad luck, danger, that kind of thing. And again, it sort of throws out that imagery of death, of mystery, of something bad's going to happen, that kind of thing. So those are the key issues. The humanoid sign, the wings, the red eyes, and the prophecies, and seeing imagery of the future, and something's bad. But in 1967, it was bad enough, you know, for the Silver Bridge to fall down of the Ohio River and to kill dozens of people who drowned. But, I mean, if we're talking about Mothman getting ready for a nuclear attack, that kind of thing, or a prophecy along those lines, that would be, you know, the worst possible thing ever. You know, we just wouldn't be able to, I mean, survive one thing, you know.
Yeah, of course, you're sitting here describing this creature. Of course, I know it's not exactly the same, but here we are in the same stadium, I guess you'd say, the Jersey Devil.
Yep, that's a perfect example. That's another one as well, yeah.
Which is, I mean, it's uncomforting to think about all these different but very similar type things around the country.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I mean, there's so many other ones as well. I mean, you can literally go around the world, particularly in Africa. They have legends of creatures that again seem to be related to the Mothman phenomenon. And about 15 years ago, I went out to do a TV shoot about the Chupacabra with a friend of mine, John Downs, and who's an expedition guy. And when we went out there deep into the El Yunque rainforest in Puerto Rico, although we were talking about the Chupacabra, one of the interviewees said that she had seen this large humanoid type creature again with red eyes and looked almost again identical to Mothman, but this creature was seen in the in the center of Puerto Rico. And so again, these things do seem to be all over the place, but it looks like now what we've got sort of like a boot, you know. It's like, you know, your laptop goes out, you got to boot it, you know, and that's what it kind of sounds like in this situation, that these creatures sort of suddenly pop up and they're suddenly flying around the skies, and again, nobody really knows where they're from, but you want to try and find the new Mothman, and well, should you do it? You know, should you keep thinking about Mothman? Should you try and call for it? It might not be a good thing to do, you know.
Well, now that you mentioned that, piques my curiosity, because, you know, there's people out there who think they can attract aliens or UFOs or whichever, you know, if they're lasers or whatever. I'm not even going to go down that road because you know, when you invite any type of strange activity, and you definitely need to be careful what you wish for.
Very true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I mean, anything, you know, where you invite somebody in, you know, and like somebody knocks on the door, and something goes wrong, well, it's usually in those situations where it's going to be probably bad, dangerous, sinister, dark, you know, the whole thing. And so I think the pattern is a real one, but why these creatures seem to sort of create negativity. Mm-hmm.
So I remember seeing a bunch of stuff about the Mothman being, or a version of the Mothman being around Chicago. What do you think about all of that?
I'm sorry, that I had a bit of static then. Could you?
Yeah, a version of the Mothman being around Chicago from 2019. I think I seen a report the other day of this too.
Yeah. Well, you're exactly right. It was round about 2016, 2017, 2018, 19, and 20. Yeah, around about Chicago. All around there, people were having these sightings again. And as I said, that was around about 2016, 2017, 2018. And now the same thing has happened again. And where I'm getting most of them from, the sightings, or a lot of them, I should say, are in the Texas area. And also in the in California, but the same phenomenon is the same thing, and the people there having those terrible dreams, and with ruined cities, you know, place just flattened everywhere, and yeah, it's people are seeing these memories, these dreams, here, there, and everywhere. And now, lots of people have come up with different ideas. You know, maybe they do it to create terror in people because they can sort of pull out the energy out of the person who's terrified. You know, maybe they literally feed on our energy, which is a fascinating scenario. It's almost like with a parallel with like orgone energy, that kind of thing. So maybe Mothman, or all of them, feed, if you like, on energy, and so they create energy, and the more terrified we get, the energy gets bigger and bigger, and so the creatures, they get stronger as well with energy. And so I think there could be multiple reasons, but But you're right. I mean, that's fascinating, that one particular aspect that you talked about, as to clusters of these creatures now seem to be coming here and there and back again, like they did back in Chicago about 6 years ago. And so who knows what the next time's going to be. But that is basically the the phenomenon and how it works. And and the first one I ever heard of was called the Owled Man, literally the Owl Man, one of these creatures which looks like an owl. And and this one started in 1976 in England when I was just a kid. And at that point, 1976, well, as I said, little kid, and the English newspapers were talking about this, and the only difference between Mothman and Owlman is that Owlman obviously had a face like an owl, whereas Mothman had more of a sort of a ratty kind, has a sort of a more mothy face, if you like. And it was intriguing to me that years later I thought back, I thought, well, you know, there was a time, Nick, you know, when you were thinking about this Mothman creature, and then and a few years earlier you kept hearing these stories about Owlman as well. It was almost as if there was something there sort of pulling it towards me, if you like, you know, that kind of thing. And and over the years I've had some very weird almost like synchronicities in relation to flying human entities. And I've had that happen to me so many times, it makes me really sort of feel that some people are somehow sort of pulled to these creatures. And again, maybe that be the reason might be, you know, to extract the energy out of us, and they in effect feed upon it, which is very similar to what people say about the black-eyed children and the men in black, that supposedly they as well can sort of empty us of our fuel, if you like. And so maybe that is an ongoing situation, you know, to see how they can live. And and the answer is that, well, maybe they live on us.
So I've got a random question for you, but you'll follow me, I'm sure. There's been people that claim to have pieces of UFOs, people that claim to have fur from Bigfoot or cast prints or anything, but have any of these cryptid birds turned up any physical evidence?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting thing, because there's a couple of different types of, well, actually three or four different types of unknown, mysterious, flying wing creatures. Now, some look like giant birds. You know, we're not talking about Mothman, you know, that looks partially sort of semi-human in some lights. excuse me. But there are other cases where you can see much more, like, for example, the Thunderbirds in Native American lore. I mean, you know, they're a sort of what you might call sort of magical, supernatural giant birds, which reportedly can grab people and take them to the skies and kill them, that kind of thing. We've got the one I mentioned at Puerto Rico, which weren't really anything like Mothman, but they did have the glowing red eyes, and that is the on the angle on most of these things. And but there's more than that as well. I mean, people talk about giant, what looks like giant pterodactyls from the era of the Jurassic time, that kind of thing. So, you know, for me, I've heard so many stories of people talking about pterodactyls in the present day, but I've never seen one of them, and it's so bizarre, you know, to think about of pterodactyls or something 99% similar. That's so wild, you know. But if you just Google, you know, pterodactyl today, something like that, you'll find so many stories about people who've seen claim to have seen pterodactyls, and again, they have like specific areas, and with these pterodactyls, most of them have been seen on the borders of Mexico and Texas. And so again, you know, we've got other patterns that come along as well.
So I seen a clip of this. I didn't see the full thing because I didn't bother to look it up because I knew how it was going to go. But on Fox News over the weekend, they had the guy on who thinks birds or drones or robots or birds aren't real. And we're sitting here talking about cryptid birds, and I'm thinking, there are people out there who don't even believe in real birds.
Well, I mean, when you cover all this, really, you know, the whole thing is bizarre and weird. You know, the whole thing. I'm not sure to what extent, you know, some of these creatures are sort of definitely intertwined with the other ones, or maybe it's the landscape, the skies, the mountains. Maybe that's good for them, you know. But I mean, the way this works is that the more and more we get into it, what we find is that more and more people get sucked in, and there's a lot of stories from, you know, ancient creatures from the Middle East as well, and you know, with giant wings as well. So it's a lot of very strange things, and wondering what these things are, you know.
So, oh wait, I've got Nick Redfern, the author of Mothman and Other Flying Monsters, The Nuclear Nightmares and Armageddon. I'm assuming that's on Amazon and everywhere fine books are sold. Jeez, Pete's not stolen. Jeez, Pete's.
What was that last bit? Sorry, we still got some stats.
I said I'm assuming that's available everywhere fine books are sold. Of course, I stumbled over it and said stolen, but it's sold.
well, this book, I mean, my new book, Mothman and Other Flying Monsters, that one's only been out for about 2 weeks now, and there's been a lot of interest in the book, and sort of relative to the sort of things I've sort of mentioned in the books, and also particularly about that nuclear side. And I think a lot of that, you know, is because of people. A lot of people are sort of a little bit worried, you know, and scared about, you know, could we have a nuclear war one day? And But I have got some very I have already got some fascinating feedback, And again, a lot of it came from people. This was about six or seven people talking about not just the like a nuclear attack in a nightmare, but also people when they woke up and they felt, or some of them said they could see imagery of some of the cities all ruined, but in front of them. It was almost like images were being projected in front of them. It's kind of as if you were sitting in a cinema and you were looking at the screen. And then after about 5 or 10 seconds, it just quickly went away. So and that was one of the weirdest kinds of stories I got within the first week of the book. And so I'm pretty sure there will be a lot of other stories because, I mean, we are literally seeing these sort of these winged humanoid creatures all over the place. But like I said, what really does fascinate me is that things like particularly the Houston Batman and Mothman, although you see on some of the TV in images and newspapers and magazine images, it's been altered. But in the original, if you see the original pictures of the of that one, the Houston Batman and Mothman, they really were almost identical, which does make me think that there was not just one Mothman. You know, there could be colonies of them. It's not impossible.
So, do you think all sightings of Mothman are a harbinger for something bad to happen, or is it just coincidence?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because I actually do believe most of these are connected, and you know, a lot of them have these wings. A lot of them have the red eyes. However, but there are significant differences. Some of them are feathery. Others, they're just sort of more leathery. So it is hard to say, but I'm pretty sure that they are, in some way, they all have a connection. And as I said, I mean, they could just be tormenting us for real good reason other than to terrify us. You know, what should we do today? Oh yeah, you know, let's fight the humans and terrify them. You know, that kind of thing. But I don't think it's quite like that. But yeah, I'm absolutely sure there is a reason as to why these entities are being seen, and why are they connected to prophecies, and why are people seeing disasters, and all of these aspects are all coming together. It could mean it's going to come to something. It might not, because if we think about it, when it happened at Point Pleasant, West Virginia, there were about 4 dozen people died. A lot of them actually also survived. It wasn't everybody who died. So, in other words, it's not everything's black and dark, you know. It could be a situation where, within a lot of these events, something won't go wrong, you know.
So, Nick, since I have you here, we haven't talked in a couple of years, so I want to ask you about the UFO hearing that was probably, beginning of August, late July, whenever that was. Jeez, it seems like yesterday, but I know it wasn't. Did that make any difference to you, or was it just me that felt like we're not learning anything? We've just got more going on of the same old, same old.
Sorry, could you say that again? Do you mind?
No, it's okay. The UFO hearing, I think that was late July, early August. It feels like yesterday, but I know it wasn't because time's been flying on me. Do you think that was the same old, or do you think there was something new there?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, to a significant degree. You know, I mean, when it's with anything really, you know, anything that's sort of, very, very similar, and whether it's, you know, their colors, the way they move, everything. But there are differences, that kind of thing. now, what's interesting is that when there was that Chicago flash of creatures back then, 2017, 2018, 2029, something like that, I mean, a lot of those really did look like some of the reports of Mothman, and others, other than were completely different. And I sometimes wonder, because so many people have seen about all this, I sometimes wonder if what they're actually seeing are things like thought forms and tulpas, for people who may not know. That's if you believe in something, as long as you can, eventually it'll come to life. And so, you know, I think there's a possibility that could be a reason why, you know, we see a lot of these very similar creatures, because we've all heard about them. We all know what they look like. Most people have seen the stories about them. What was that?
No, there was nothing there. So, I was gonna. Before I get you out of here, I got two more questions. I know you have. I tried to count them, but I don't know how many books you got anymore. I'm sure you probably don't either. Where could people go to find you and the books and all of that?
Oh, yeah, sure. Well, I have a blog called World of Whatever. You can get me on you can get me on Facebook. And, of course, all the usual ones. We all know. I think there is a possibility, you know, the thought form tulpa scenario, where if you believe in something, then you can actually, it, I should say, can come to life. And that's a fascinating theory. And I wonder if that happened with Mothman. We've all seen the movies, documentaries. People have heard of Point Pleasant, so on and so on. And I do wonder if, you know, with everybody thinking about it, the creatures then spontaneously appear. And that's what a lot of people have said. It goes slightly off to the angle, so to speak, but that happened about 10 years ago when there was all that Slenderman chaos. There was those two girls who tried to attack one of their school girls. And a lot of people claimed they were seeing the Slenderman. Yet the Slender Man was actually a creation of the human mind, which that's what tulpas and thought forms are. And that was an absolute. I actually wrote a book about Mothman when the excitement and everything and the chaos started, And at that time, I was at most of those places, and what I saw was not Mothman or anything like that, and I didn't see the Slender Man, but I ended up speaking to dozens and dozens of people who said they had seen the Slender Man, and that they swore that they'd seen it, and the real one, you know, like 12, 13 foot feet high. You know, this skinny little thing, kind in some ways, you know, with this just like a horrible scrapey thing, you know. And so the situation is very similar to Mothman. I think it's possible that maybe something like Mothman and any of the similar ones, and you've got things like Slenderman, all of them could be coming out of our mind because we're thinking about them so much. And then they have the ability to break out of their strain, so to speak. So I think something along those lines as well could happen. You know, the people are seeing Mothman because people are talking about Mothman, and somebody starts talking about Mothman, and then vice versa, and on and on and on. So maybe we are seeing things of our own creation, and we're not able to stop it, you know.
So, Nick, I can't remember if you've been on as long, it's been that long ago, so I don't remember if you answered this question before or not. So I'm going to ask you again. If I asked you before, I'm sorry. What is your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I'd probably say toast. I'm not a big breakfast eater. I never go to anywhere to get food. I get up in the morning, I'll make I'll have some toast, margarine, and put some red jelly and a couple of slices. That does me. I think the last time I've been to gone somewhere to breakfast, I couldn't tell you when it was.
Well, Nick, I am
10 years. I don't know.
Well, I appreciate you working with me today and work trying to get this through, and I appreciate you still making it through.
I should probably tell the audience that we had a big disaster with something to do. It was sort of 99% to do with the internet, but where I lived, there were some problems. And I, the last minute, I didn't think we were going to do the show, but luckily we did. But it's one of those situations where you know, you have to go back to sort of old days. I was saying that you won't believe this, but about 5 or 6 years ago, I found in one of the cupboards in one of my moves, I found an old landline phone, and I thought, you know, just kind of, I thought, yeah, it's one of those quaint ones, you know. and eventually we had to use one of an old landline for this interview. Which was like one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. In one way, you know, you've got to use an old type telephone because we couldn't do the show properly because it was causing problems on the internet.
And then you asked me if you could call in, which, you know, in that moment I'm like, oh, I'm using this their program. How do I do this? So I had to sit there and Google and see if I could do it. And then I went, you're an idiot, Jim. You could do this. This is how you did that for 10 years. What's that? Just stop. So
it is funny when you have to do that, you know, and you got to, and you almost like you have to dial it, you know.
Yeah. It's like, from that panic, it's like, oh yeah, we could definitely, that's when I sent you, well, we're definitely doing this tonight, and then I sent you the numbers, because I'm like, we'll make this work one way or the other, because, well, I figured it out finally, but there was that sheer moment of panic, like, I've never done that on this new program. How do you...
I mean, it is a good story to talk about, you know. What did you do last night? Oh, I was trying to work with an old phone, you know, where you turn the number and the next number. but it worked at the end, so it worked.
All right, Nick. Well, I'm going to get you out of here. Have a good evening, and hopefully get your internet straightened up.
You were doing what?
I'm going to get you out of here. Hopefully get your internet straightened up.
Oh, okay.
Talk to you soon. That's Nick Redfern popping on a little late, but, you know, technology. There we go. So, don't forget to like this feed. Yes, Dave, make sure you like the YouTube feed. If you haven't subscribed to me on YouTube, you get to see me, what is it now, 95% of the time? Tonight you didn't get to see me, but that's okay. And you'll have those nights where I just feel not pretty. No, I'm just kidding. I knew I was bringing Nick on, and I wasn't going to have him on camera, so I figured, hey, take the night off. Next week? Oh, yeah, I've got a guest on next week that you guys are... We kind of slipped in the haunted fall. We talked about Mothman tonight, and that's not necessarily haunted fall related. Germantown Runner, did I say what we're doing in the winter yet? Because if not, I've got an idea finally. So there's that. Bring William Pullen on. Well, let's get the call up here. Hold on, if he's still available, is Pullen still available? I don't want to be calling him if he's not available. Yeah, what the hell, I'll just call him anyways. I'll bring, this one. He might be doing something else right now. Okay, we'll hang up on him so I don't give out his number in on live recording. I don't want to be doing that to him. But yeah, so there's that. Okay, so I hinted at it, but I didn't say specifically what we're going to do, right? Because I do have this idea now, and I don't want to be tracking back over something I've already said. So... While I wait for Germantown Runner to make sure it confirmed my thought that I didn't say what we're doing, I just want to thank everybody for being a subscriber, being a listener, being a social media follower, contact, whatever it may be. So, yeah, so there's a lot going on right now. But yeah, next week guest, I'm recording earlier that afternoon, but he will be on video, but definitely more into the Haunted Fall bit. For you all, a name that most of you should know, will know, I don't know, we'll see, in that arena. I'm working on some other people that are in that arena as well, so we'll play that out as we get through here. So, yeah, there's all of that. I hate to tease it that way, but, you know, that's what we got to do around here, make sure that it comes together. I'm looking at the wrong clock. Because I'm thinking the show should be over. It isn't. And, oh, there we go. That's the right clock. There is a big difference between the live show and the YouTube clock. There's probably close to a minute. So if you guys are wondering why it seems like I'm waiting forever for Germantown Runner to answer my question, that's probably why. Holy smokes, that's a big gap. Okay. So what we're going to do... Okay, so we got Haunted Fall... then predictions. And then I want to spend a few weeks, maybe until the first of the year or so, and I want to bring on some people that we've heard before. Some, I don't know who they are, but we're going to spend, 6 weeks or so, maybe around the holidays. I might take a week off, I don't know. We're going to take that 6 weeks into the new year, and we're going to talk to people that have already been on. Going to bring back some of our favorites, some of the people that may have something interesting to say, like Nick Redfern, maybe that type of guest, somebody who's been on, it's been a while, but we want to catch up with them. So that's what we're going to do from that second week in November to the first of the year. I think that's early winter, and then I'm not exactly sure, but we'll flip the page and flip the calendar, and we'll do something different going forward. Yes, Germantown Run, that's one of the names that is definitely on my radar. So let's do that. Let's have a little, I don't know, I need some alliteration here. Winter wrap-up, maybe? Is that good? I think that might be it. Just kind of bringing on some people. Like a Germantown Runner popped up one in the chat room. I'll definitely try to bring him back on. Just some people. There's a bunch of people that we love to hear from. And because of the nature of the beast, we don't always get to hear back from them. So, yeah, he'd be a good one, too. Because I don't think we barely scratched the surface with him. So, if you're not on the duck pond, you're wondering who these names are we're talking about, me and Dave. And if you're not on the duck pond, you're missing out. That's what the beauty of that is. Because there is a whole community there that joins me live 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday nights to feed me questions, who often ask better questions than I ask. I get lucky and just have the opportunity to share their thoughts with our guests. So we're going to get a live reaction here from Poland real quick. Got a couple minutes left, so we're going to... Got William Poland jumping back on. We're gonna pull him in for a couple minutes. So go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Call.
It's okay. So you listened. What do you think?
I don't put any credence into some of his theories. I still need to see physical evidence, a body, something, to confirm the reality of it. It's kind of like the same thing as we discussed Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, Dogman, these alleged cryptids. At some point, we need a body. But we don't have that, so...
Even Bigfoot generates some footprints sometimes. Now, you may have your questions about those, which that's here and there. At least there is potential. I mean, it seems like...
Yes.
I've seen multiple casts of feet, so... And kind of different, slightly different variations, so you know they're not all from the same mold, I guess is the easy point.
Yeah, and that's when you discuss cryptozoology, you have the possibility of gaining physical evidence. Scat, footprints, blood, damage to vegetation. You can tell a creature is there without a body. But some of these other tales, there's nothing been recovered. And when you talk about, you know, pterosaurs or other physical creatures that once existed on the planet, you can't have just one. You would have to have a breeding population, meaning hundreds. And if there were hundreds of pterosaurs alive in South Texas, we'd see them. Some idiot would have shot one, in fact. So we just don't have that. So, which is a tough standard. Yeah, I mean, we convict people of crimes and put them to death with no physical evidence, just testimony. So that does occur. But in the sciences, you need physical evidence. And we just don't have that. And I'm not saying that Bigfoot doesn't exist. I believe it does. I believe there are species on the planet we're not aware of. But having said that, what I believe doesn't matter. What we can prove does. And without physical evidence, then I'm going to reserve judgment, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you jumping back on. But, of course, you know, I'm looking at the clock saying I've got 30 seconds before I have to hit the post. So, and Germantown Run will be excited to know that I'm looking at it and trying to hit it because I've got the program tonight that's going to auto-play it. So,
well, it's always an honor to be on, so thanks a bunch, Jim.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
Next, okay.
Bye. William Pullen jumping on to wrap the show and Pullen-ness. Is that a word? Pullen-ness? I don't know. That's probably not a word. I just popped up in the duck pond, the guest for next week, tentatively scheduled, so there's that. Again, that's what I was saying before we got William Pullen back on, of planned guest here. I don't like to do it. I don't like to put too many names out there because, you know, things can happen. But so if you're on the duck pond, like I said, that's the great place to be because you learn all these little tricks that the duck master has. Yes, that's my nickname on the pond. I don't know where that came from.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us.
Been a treat. I hope you enjoyed it.
Take a few moments, subscribe, share.
All the fun stuff you know how to do it.
I don't have to tell you.
Just be ready for next week.
I'll be sooner than you think.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!